It's great to see you again. It's great to be here. My name's Steve Wolford. I'm part of the leadership team here on Sunday mornings at the moment over in the host site, but it's always great to be back here. I don't know how many of you have heard of a guy by the name of Dante Gabriel Rossetti. His name is going to, his picture is going to appear there. That's a self-portrait. On the right-hand side, that's one of his paintings. On the left-hand side, he was a famous artist and poet in the 19th century. And the story goes that one day he was approached by an elderly man who wanted to show him some sketches and some artwork. And he wanted Rossetti to say whether he thought that it was of any significant quality or showed potential. And Rossetti looked at this artwork and pretty well immediately knew that it didn't have any kind of potential at all. But he was a kind man, and he didn't want to be harsh. And so, as nicely as he could, he said, "Actually, those sketches didn't show really any potential at all." And he was sorry. But he knew he couldn't lie to the man. And the man was disappointed, but didn't seem to be totally surprised, and thanked him for his time. It said, could he show him just a set of other sketches, and if he could give his verdict on those? He said they were done by a young art student. He showed those to Rossetti, and Rossetti looked at them for a few seconds and immediately became very enthusiastic about them. He said, "These are good. These are very good. This young student has great talent." He went on to say that he should be given every help and encouragement in his career as an artist, and that he had a great future in art if only he worked hard and stuck to it. And he could see the older man was visibly moved, and he said to him, "Is this your son?" The old man said, No, those are my sketches 40 years ago. I wish I'd had your encouragement then, but I didn't have any encouragement, and I gave up, and I gave up too soon." And so I want to speak today about the power of encouragement, because encouragement could have made a huge difference to that old man's life, the whole course of his life. And there may be a number of you here this morning, having heard that story, thinking, well, that's exactly my problem. If others had encouraged me, then my life would have turned out very differently. Well, here's another story for you. This is a story from a very ordinary Christian lady called Jean, and she was going through a difficult time in her life. She was in her 30s, she was single, she was at a Bible college, she had little money, she was sick herself, she was facing constant car repairs, and she was watching both her parents battle with cancer and heart problems. And so life was tough for her. But there was one particular day, one of her lecturers, a professor, made himself very vulnerable about an area of, or a number of areas of great need in his life. And she was so moved by it that she and some of her friends put together what they called a Barnabas Committee. Now, those of you that know the New Testament will know that Barnabas was a character in the New Testament who was famous for his encouragement. If you want a bit of Bible trivia, Barnabas was his nickname. If you look in the Gospels, you find he wasn't actually, his real name was Joseph there. So there you go. Some of you would not have known that. But Barnabas means son of encouragement. And anyway, this woman Jean put together this Barnabas committee, and they kept sending notes to this professor with scriptures and saying, "We're praying for you," sometimes attaching them to bars of chocolate and things like that. And she says this, she says, "As I help these teachers, I discovered the truth of Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Even though my problems didn't go away, they deepened when both my parents died a short time later. My reaching out to others helped keep my focus on God's love and power." And the Bible has a lot to say about encouragement. I'm going to read a few verses from a book in the Bible called Hebrews. If you're new to us, you might find some of the earlier verses a little confusing. Let me just explain a little bit of the background. The book of Hebrews is written to a group of Jewish people who have become followers of Jesus. They're being persecuted for their faith quite severely. And so clearly they're feeling tempted to go back to their old faith rather than continuing in their new one. And this whole book was written to encourage them to stand firm because their new life with Jesus is far better than their old one. They formerly related to God indirectly through fallible human priests, through animal sacrifices and ritual washings and curtains that shut them out from the presence of God. And yet when Jesus came, he did away with the old, by virtue of being a perfect priest and a perfect sacrifice. And he opened up what's described as a new and living way through his death on the cross and his resurrection afterwards. He opened up a way so that they and we can come and approach God boldly, without sacrifices, without curtains, and we can know that we're forgiven, clean, and totally accepted by him. So that's the background of these verses. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I want to say four things about encouragement. A number of them are found in this passage. Firstly, encouragement is powerful. I hope those stories that I referred to earlier help you see that. Not all encouragement is powerful. There can be a form of flattery that people use, and it comes across as encouragement. And it's when people say things nice about you, but actually they don't really mean it. They're saying it for an effect of some kind. It's usually to do with them. It's all about them. It's not about the person that they're speaking to. That is not encouragement. Flattery isn't encouragement. I want to highlight two particular forms of encouragement. The first of those is provocative encouragement. Now, that may surprise you. You may not have thought of encouragement as being provocative. But in those verses that I read out, it said, stir one another up to love and good works. And the feel of that phrase, stir up, is it's like be a good irritation to someone. Provoke them. Provoke them. Stimulate them. Inspire them. And particularly inspire them to do things they think they cannot do. And next Sunday, a number in this room, along with thousands of others, are going to be running the marathon. And many people, when they finish it, I've never run it, but many people, when they finish it, will say, I could not have done it if it hadn't been for the crowd encouraging me. I served on a water station last year. It was great fun. And towards the end, as tail enders were coming through, you had the time to applaud the tail enders. And I remember one particular guy came around the corner where we were, and he was the only one in our sight. And we all started going crazy and applauding him. And the guy looked round because he thought someone well-known must have appeared behind him. And then he realized we were applauding him. And the smile on his face, his pace picked up. You could tell it was a powerful demonstration of what encouragement can do for someone. I don't know if he finished because that was only mile two, our water station. But it clearly meant a lot to him. You know, if the biggest challenge we face in life is running the marathon, then we've had an easy life. You know, there are much bigger challenges that we face in life than running marathons. And I guess some of the greatest stories of encouragement come from the battlefields, actually. I haven't got time to go into them, but situations of life and death where we need people, and we need to do it as well. We need to bring provocative encouragement to people. Then there's restorative encouragement. You may be more familiar with this. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14 says, encourage the faint-hearted. We need to come alongside people and comfort them through seasons of loss, difficulty, breakdown, weakness, doubt, fear, or failure. We need to comfort them. And you know, the meaning of the word comfort has changed over the years. When we say comfort now, we probably think of duvets and sofas and cushions and hot chocolate. And that may be all part of the process of comforting someone. But do you know the word actually means to fortify? Fort comes from fortis, to fortify. And so even in our comforting, there is this sense and encouragement of you bringing strength to someone when you restore them. One particular incident from my own life illustrates both of these, actually. When I was a young teenager, I was very lacking in confidence. I was very quiet, have a speech impediment, but I had a very fiery Welsh Sunday school teacher who constantly provoked me and put me in situations, public situations sometimes, in front of 100 or 200 people, getting me to do things publicly. And I absolutely hated it, but for some reason I did it. And on one occasion, she had asked me to do this 5-minute talk. And it started okay, and then my mind went blank. I froze, I panicked, I couldn't think of what I was saying, where I was going. I hastily brought the thing to a conclusion and went back to my seat thinking, I will never do that again in my life. And this woman's husband came up to me at the end. And I don't know if he knew what was going on internally in me, but he came up and he encouraged me. And he thanked me for what I'd said. He said the content was good. He said, I think you've got a gift there. He said, I would encourage you to explore that gift further. You know, I don't think I would have been here today if it hadn't been for that encouragement at the end of that occasion. I don't know if that was provocative or restorative or both. It doesn't matter. The important thing about encouragement is that you come alongside someone and you strengthen them and you put courage in them to get up, to stand firm, or to press on, whatever may be relevant in their life. I mean, you can all do that. We can all do that. Even if you are badly in need of encouragement yourself, you can do that for others. So encouragement is powerful. Secondly, encouragement is necessary. It is very, very necessary. Now, we like to appear cool with people. We like to give the impression to people that we're competent, that we're in control, that we're composed, that we've got things together, even through the most difficult moments of life. And we all go through difficult moments in life. Life can be very hard. Life is tough. And to be honest, one of our greatest battles in life is with discouragement. And you know, we are wired to need encouragement from people. That's part of what I would say is why God, that's the way God has made us. We're wired to need external encouragement coming in and putting courage back into us. And without it, we get weary. We are prone to lose heart and to lose hope and ultimately to give up if we are not encouraged. And there's another verse earlier in Hebrews, the book that I was reading from earlier, and it talks about encouraging each other daily. In chapter 3, it's got to be a daily practice. It says, if we don't encourage each other daily, it says, our hearts get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I haven't got a long time to say what that means, but basically all kinds of things begin to happen in our lives if we don't get encouraged. We begin to believe lies. We begin to think that people don't like me. We begin to think, I'm a failure, I'm useless, I'm unlovable. We begin to think that God's either not there or he doesn't care. a deceitfulness of sin comes in. We believe lies, and what we tend to do is we tend to try and fill that gap that we feel, or we try to numb that pain with other things. We start to pursue other things on the basis of these lies. And it may be relationships, it may be substances, it may be career. But if those things that we're pursuing are founded on lies, invariably they lead us further into deception and into desperation and into even greater despair and encouragement. But the Bible says our hearts will not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness if we encourage each other daily. We all need it. And being Mother's Day today, I want to highlight that mums and children are two groups of people that need a lot of encouragement. If you're a mum here today, you have a very high and fulfilling calling. It is. It's a very high calling. And yet, you know, I'm sure, that in the midst of that high calling, at times it can be very wearisome, can be tedious. You can sometimes feel like you're failing at everything. You can feel isolated and overwhelmed. And I want to say to us as a people this morning, before you go home today, try and find a mum, get alongside her and encourage her, pray for her if you can. But you know, children need our encouragement as well. And I want to say to those of you that are parents especially, not exclusively, but parents especially, I want to say to you this morning, encourage your children. Catch them doing something right, okay? Catch them doing something right. You see, children are so desperate for our attention, so desperate. If we don't encourage them, they would do the wrong things to get your attention. They will. So if you can encourage them, they're not going to do the wrong thing so often because they know they've got mum or dad's attention. Now, that can be hard sometimes. Those of you who've got teenagers, when you go into their bedroom, it might mean you have to say, well, your ceiling is certainly tidy. But find ways of encouraging your kids. And I want to bring a caution here. I want to say, by all means, celebrate accomplishments. That's good. So children can say to their mum, Mum, that was a great meal. But it's ever so important that we encourage more than in accomplishments, whether successful or not, because the meal may not always be successful, you see. And so you need to encourage the effort and the character that went into that accomplishment, whether it succeeded or failed. So as parents, you might either say to your kids, well done, you worked really hard at that homework, even if they didn't do very well in it. Or you may want to say thank you for demonstrating that serving spirit when you helped clear the table, even if there was stuff still smeared all over it come the end of that time. Encourage them for the effort and the character that went into it. But even more than that, and this is what's most important, you need to let people know that you love them and that you accept them and you appreciate them, whatever they do, whatever they say, whatever they look like. You need to say to them, I think you're great. I'm so glad that you're my mum. Even if you fail that exam or lose that sports match, I'm still going to love you just as much. That makes a huge, huge difference. You see, if we only encourage accomplishments, and I can be like that. I can always find the accomplishments to encourage for. But if we only do that, people begin to think that they're only actually acceptable and loved if they perform well, if they keep the rules, or if only I could be perfect, then I will receive encouragement and acceptance and love. People like that tend to be driven and uptight and insecure, whereas people that you know are personally, people that are personally appreciated, they flourish when there's encouragement because there's that foundation in their lives. I heard a great story secondhand recently. I don't know if Bob Holway is in the room this morning, but my wife Well, my wife heard Phil Wilthew speaking a couple of weeks ago, and Phil used to be in the church here. He's a guy that has a prophetic gift. That is, he has a particular gift of hearing things from God in a meeting or for an individual. That it's what God wants to say to that person or that meeting, and he's very good at bringing that to people. And he was talking about this gift of prophecy that he has, and he referred back to when he was a teenager here in this church, and Bob Holway was his youth leader. And he said every time he prophesied publicly in a meeting, whether it's a children's meeting or a Sunday meeting, Bob would send him a card during the week. Every time. And I presume that that card, knowing Bob, I would presume that card wasn't always to say that was a great prophetic word every time. It was to say, well done. Well done. You were courageous. You stepped out. You keep doing that. Again, that is the power of encouragement. It wasn't just encouraging accomplishment. It was showing acceptance and appreciation of the person. It's something we can all be involved in. But I just want to take this a step further on, and that is this. The most powerful and necessary form of encouragement of all is when you help people to find strength in God. And if we're wired to need encouragement from each other, God has definitely wired us to need encouragement from Him. It says in Romans 15, verse 5, that God is a God of endurance and encouragement. I could spend a lot of time showing you how God is an encouraging God. You know, God never discourages. But I want to just home in for a few seconds on the person of the Holy Spirit. Because it says in the Bible, He is the one who comes alongside people to help them. Some versions say He is the comforter. And He does that by leading us into truth about other people, about ourselves, and about God. Without encouragement, the deceitfulness of sin comes into our lives. But He gives us the Holy Spirit. And He comes to lead us out of lies and into truth. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't believe in objective truth, then really, I don't know what I can say to you about encouragement. It's much more limited if you do not believe in objective truth. It reduces the ground on which you can encourage people. It really is just saying to people, you just got to dig in. You've got to find the inner resources to do this thing. And that has its place. And that is good. But we need more than that. Sometimes we can come with platitudes, you know, superficial sayings that don't really help us when we're going through a tough time. Like, every cloud has a silver lining. Or, there's no use crying over spilt milk. That's not very helpful to me. Even someone saying, don't worry, things will probably get better. You know, that's, I appreciate the motivation behind it, but I don't know about you, but I go through areas in my life where I know I don't have the inner resources. And knowing that every cloud has a single silver lining doesn't help me. I need something more. I need something supernatural. I need a supernatural strength and courage from outside myself, from God. And we all need that. All of us need that. And so, as Christians, we can encourage each other with truth. We've got a whole book full of it that the Holy Spirit can use. And sometimes there are things here that are hard to understand, but they are here for our encouragement. The Bible talks about the encouragement of the Scriptures giving us hope. They result in courage in us. My last two points here. Encouragement is easy. Okay? Encouragement is easier. What I mean by that is we're in a culture and a generation that is so encouragement-starved that a little goes a long way. Even a smile, even the simplest kindly word can have a disproportionate effect. It's easy to encourage people, really. Here are some ways you can encourage people this week. Remind you again what I read earlier from that passage. Consider how to stir each other up and consider how to encourage. Now, this will come more naturally for some than others. Some of you, you would do it naturally. You would just find things you can encourage people for. Others have to consider. We have to observe. And we have to think. Now, how can I encourage that person? My wife's very good with me in this. You know, sometimes I come home from a meeting and I say, X did really well today. They did this or said that or they demonstrated that. And she would say, well, did you tell them that? And I'm getting better at now, so I can more often than not say, yeah, I did tell them that. But you know, the tendency is to think it but not say it. We get so busy and preoccupied. Other times we think, well, others will tell them, or they already know. No, they probably don't. So we need to consider and then do it. And there's a whole list of ways in which you can encourage, okay? I'm not going to go through all of those. I think they're fairly self-explanatory. But you need to find what's your best style for encouraging people? And then do it regularly. Make it a daily habit. And for some people here in this room, you might never preach, and you might never get up here to do the notices or to appear in the band, but this can be your ministry. This could be your main ministry, a ministry of encouragement. It talks about it being a definite gift in the Scripture. And some of you have it and you don't realize it because no one's encouraged you to see it, maybe. So start exercising this gift. You can see how powerful it can be. You can bring through scores of other preachers and worship leaders and musicians with your encouragement. It's easy. Just get started. Let it become a ministry. Finally, I want to say this. Encouragement begins with God. And that's coming back to that passage that I read right at the start. The opening verses were full of God and how through Jesus he's opened up a new and living way for us to come to him confidently and boldly, knowing we're accepted by him. And then it goes on to say about encouragement. You know, we will have the capacity to receive and give encouragement best when we know we're loved and accepted by God. And you know, so many of us can miss it. There may be people in this room that you don't know God personally because you don't think he exists or you don't think he's worth knowing. And I want to say to you, the problem's not with God, actually. The problem is in your own heart. And you see, before you come to know God, you don't always realize it, but actually, you're in a bad situation. Your heart is in a bad place. You probably don't realize how self-centered and proud and flawed your heart is, more than you probably ever dared believe. It's like an iron curtain that separates you from God and all his life and love and goodness. But these verses are saying, praise God, God did something about that iron curtain. He sent Jesus. He came. He broke through it. Through his death and through his resurrection, he dismantled that curtain. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, came. And when he died on that cross, he carried our shame. And he carried the punishment that we deserved so that we could be free from it. And when we see and believe with all our hearts that we are more loved and accepted by God than we ever dared hope, then we are able to receive his powerful encouragement for the rest of our lives. And that's what enables us to encourage others so freely. So there you go. Encouragement is powerful. It's necessary, it's easy, and it always begins with God. In a few moments, we're going to be encouraging some mums. I want to encourage you, come the end of this meeting, to encourage some more mums yourself, or those that have been with your children, looking after them, or tomorrow in your workplace. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going this week, let this encouragement become for you a feature of your life, because God has encouraged us so much in Jesus Christ. I'm handing over to Simon.